This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
The news and the discussion boards have lately been filled with what is by now a familiar story of teachers having taken advantage of their students and of a much-respected yoga teacher dying suddenly of a drug overdose. And everybody tries to wrap their heads around what went wrong. How is it that these individuals who are supposed to be so wise or even enlightened are capable of such behavior? And even though by now it's an old story, one that we've heard repeated year after year, how many times in the 40 years I've been practicing? It's a perennial problem, an unending koan for people to try to understand just what do they think a teacher has attained, just what is supposed to be the difference between a teacher and a student. What is the relationship between what we do in the Zendo and how we work through our personal psychological problems? One teacher who I usually respect in one of these discussions said, "The one thing I think every Zen teacher should learn to say to students is, oh, Zen doesn't help with that." And it's, when it's said in the context of these kinds of problems, it seems to imply that the personal problems of these teachers are something separate from their spiritual insight and what they teach, and that we shouldn't, as they say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I strongly disagree with that picture of things, because when you put it that way, it's very unclear what the baby is. What is it that we think we're preserving? See, my understanding is that there's no Zen separate from the lives and conduct of the Zen teachers and Zen students. What Zen is how it functions in our life. And that ought to be reflected in some way in the way we treat others. It should be intrinsically an ethical practice where we become less self-centered, less reactive, more compassionate. And the extent to which we're able to extend that in our lives and organize our lives around those things, I think then we can say that we've matured in our practice. It's not as if mastery in Zen is the ability to enter into deep, absorptive, or concentrated states of consciousness and cultivate this kind of inner state that ordinary people can't attain, as if that was an end in itself, the end of this practice. I think those things, when and if they happen, make a difference only to the extent that they lead to the kinds of things I was just talking about, that they take us out of our ordinary self-centeredness and into a bigger identification with everyone else and all of life, so that our behavior is changed. Doesn't really matter very much what's going on inside when you're sitting on the cushion. See, I think that, you know, I remember even years ago at a Zen teacher's meeting, one other teacher trying to defend his relationship with a teacher who would, you know, behaved very badly, and he said, well, you know, I feel like I'm a musician studying with another great musician, and I have so much I can learn from him about music. I'm not going to worry about his personal life. That has nothing to do with it. See, and I think that's, again, exactly this false baby and bathwater dichotomy. The music is the music of his life. It's how he lives. Is he living a harmonious life? That's what you're there to learn. And it's not, does this person cut an impressive figure in the Zendo? You know, we're not learning to come here simply to perform ritual and sit straighter than everybody else and be able to sit in full lotus longer than anybody else, as if that's the whole point of this. People who master that, yes, they can have all sorts of problems that are separate from their ability to sit still for hours. But really, what's the point? Yeah, I think our practice has to include everything that we see in the mirror as we sit. Everything about us is reflected moment after moment in our sitting. And it's our business to acknowledge it. You know, it's when we hear Zen doesn't help with that, it's true. It's not something that's going to directly fix anything that we're working on directly. See, I still am a big believer in Kodo Suwaki's saying Zazen is useless. But I think that has a very different kind of implication. See, that uselessness is meant to be a constant grindstone against our ongoing, almost compulsive need for self-improvement and attainment, right? It's a reminder that we have to sit and leave everything alone. Just stay with what is happening. Just look in the mirror. Just see what that feels like. Now, what happens so often is that we try to split that off push it into another compartment and make what's happening in the Zendo a little oasis, a little island of calmness or concentration where we can get away from all the stress and problems of our everyday life. And that kind of relaxation practice is all well and good, but it really doesn't have anything to do with Zen. Zen is a matter of staying with all the things we come to practice to get away from. So if we want to say Zen doesn't help with that, it would have to be in the spirit of saying, no, you just have to stay with all of that. You have to stay with the reality of your greed and your reactivity and your selfishness. Stare that in the face until it turns to ashes in your mouth. Right? That's the step that I think students and teachers are very unwilling to take, and where, because they don't do it, these psychological problems stay dissociated, sequestered. If we really are honest, if we really look into the mirror and are honest about our self-centeredness, just staying with that will of itself cause something to shift and to change in us. All these stories are very upsetting and very challenging to the trust and the idealization that we should be able to have for our teachers. Yet they are real koans, real challenges to confront the paradox of attainment and practice, and to ask once again, just, what are we doing here?